Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. On today's Fit Club, we talk centenarians in Sardinia, cell phone radiation, souping, and more. Stay tuned.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Fit Club.
Welcome, Fit Clubbers. We are back. Off to, what is it, God's Plan by Drake? That new, new. What's up, y'all? Shaka Smith. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, Shaka Strong.
Oh, yeah, sorry. My name is TK Trinidad. You can find me on everything at TK Trinidad.
What's up? Glad to be back. Just jammed that new music. So you're a big Drake fan.
I'm Canadian.
So what's his most iconic album?
Sorry,
we had to divert. We had this conversation.
That's kind of. Well, I mean, I'm biased. Like, I've seen Drake in concert every year because he has OVO Fest. So I go to Toronto for that.
Oh, nice.
So I've probably seen him 6 or 7 times, 3 times in 1 year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I like all his songs, but I'm biased. Like, I don't put that critical ear to Drake stuff.
See, yeah, I love Drake, but someone brought up this point to me that they didn't think that he had one full, complete album they could point to, like a Thriller or like one, you know, and I was like,
yeah,
you know
but
what?
Even on albums like Thriller, there's always like one or two songs that you.
But you still reference the complete album as a thing.
Right, right. But is that even a thing anymore? Because, like, for instance, you'll go to the club and you'll hear that one, well, not the club, but you'll go to a party and you'll hear that Vanilla Ice song, like Ice Ice Baby. Like, you can't remember anything else. I think he maybe had one or other, two other songs on the album.
Yeah.
So now I think it's more songs that no matter what happens, like, you know.
But, you know, Beyonce's got the Lemonade, you know. We still.
I don't know if Lemonade's I mean, I love Beyonce.
But we refer to it as the album.
Well,
but
she made us think that way, because Beyonce's the queen.
we'll have to get back to this debate. We'll have to come with another show for that one. But, let's get back to the fitness news. Centenarians in Sardinia, I thought this was so interesting. So they found this little, I'm always trying to, on the quest to live longer, and they found...
You're in the wrong country for that one.
I'm telling you. They found that there's a blue zone, which is kind of marked by extraordinarily long living populations, mm-hmm. in Sardinia, in a little place, I want to say it's called the Tiana Village Sardinia, where it seems that they even live about like 30% longer than other people outside the region. And it looks like they're attributing this, of course, genes, good diet, exercise, mm-hmm. all the things. But they may be getting an extra boost from social interaction, which I thought was interesting. In that they, in this particular town and the surrounding villages, they actually value their older folks or mm-hmm. their older people, and they're part of the community and revered in such a way. What did you think about this?
I think it's no different than, you know, I made a statement on my Instagram about we're all immigrants in one shape, way or shape or form as far as generations ago or, you know, second generation, whatever. And if you go to, you know, the old land, that's normal. Like, you know, my grandmother lives with my aunt. Like, that's not an option to put my grandmother in a home.
And they found that there was a low institutional, institutionalizing of older folks
right.
in these areas.
Like, that's just, you know, my mom, unfortunately, her sister's in a home because that's all another thing. But my mom goes and, like, bathes her once a week.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nobody that's going to be left behind or shut out. Another thing, too, is just the way of life. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure that they don't have, you know, everything, the pest of the eyes, gang spirit on the food and all this other stuff. So that's one thing. And then, you know, the interaction of life and family and all this other stuff. So I think it's of old world culture that even though in this new world that we're trying to, you know, live longer, it's actually hindering us. So we're cutting ourselves off from people because of the phones. We're working harder because we want to kind of get to this top of this mountain. And then you sacrifice everything else. You finally get to the top and then you die 10 years later.
Yeah. And we're in this place where it might be more efficient or we make it efficient. Oh, put your loved ones that are old in a home and let to take care of them and don't worry about
it. Well, even the food. I mean, it's you driving the line for the fast food and, you know, that food is slowly killing you.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, it there's...
All these negative sort of reinforcements.
Right. Yeah. There's all these things that obviously, you know, I'm guessing that if somebody were sick there, they might not have the technology that we have here.
Yeah.
But then how many people are getting sick if they're getting the right food?
Yeah.
So, I mean...
And I just love the take of kind of valuing older people to make them feel, I mean, they are important because it is this last chance to get the sort of receptacle of information that they can give back to the community.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what grandparents are to kids. Yeah. Like, you know, you have your kids and you have them interact. If you're lucky enough to have the grandparents there, that's how it's supposed to be.
And I think we've lost, I guess, in general, I guess, oral traditions. And so having lost that there's been almost a de-emphasizing of the importance of old people, but it really spoke to me on this particular front, because I think we did another story a couple weeks back about reimagining what it means like to be old and older people avoiding depression as a result. So I thought this was an interesting study that it can also lead to far longer life.
Yeah, but I wonder if that's a thing of first world, because like my grandmother's 98,
yeah,
right? To my knowledge, she's never had that thing of like, oh my God, I'm getting old. She's like, I was like, Gran, can we go and like, you know, go for runs? Like, yeah. No, child, I'm like, I'm old, but not in a depressing way.
Yeah.
Like she's always talking about Jesus is coming to get her, like that type of stuff, but not in a depressing.
But she's still going out and being active.
Right.
And like,
yeah. Whereas I find that people who are hitting 30, they're like about to drop dead.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh my gosh, like the world is about to end. And I just don't think, and it could be an LA thing too, but I just don't think that, you know, that in other places they accept the progression of life, whereas
exactly.
Here we want to stay like we're 21.
And part of it is that healthcare has gotten so good, so it's been more of a sort of fix it and then get back to work sort of mentality rather than focus on life and I guess what life brings you and its abundance.
Right.
Sort of.
Well, yeah, it shouldn't be about fixing it; it should be about preventing it.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother.
So I think these people are finding, or these cultures are finding that right balance of still focusing on life and focusing on the whole holistic part of life,
mm-hmm.
and then also having medical care that is available that, you know, can help them.
Right.
And so I think that's what they got that perfect storm there in Tiana, it looks like, in Sardinia. But yeah, I love the idea that we can maybe start reimagining how we look at old people here and maybe getting those longer life outcomes.
Well, I mean, that's a whole...
Yeah. Or at least on a personal level, you know.
Well, I mean, on a personal level, and even like, you know, helping kids, it's just that we've become so shut off from everything.
Yeah,
like
totally.
Even going beyond your family and helping others.
Yeah.
You know, going to old people's homes or, you know, group homes or helping kids. Like all that stuff should be a part of our psyche that we want to do it, not that we're forced to do it because it's a class project or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
So hopefully the tide will change. We'll take some lessons from Sardinia. Another interesting topic I thought was cell phone radiation. I feel like I have this debate with friends every 3 or 4 months about the cell phone, and they always are kind of doomsday sayers. But
they're trying to kill us.
Yeah, so, you know, keep the cell phone away. But the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services National Toxicology Program just released 2 new studies, and it looks like they're relatively inconclusive. So it found a study. They did 2 studies, one on male rats and one on mouse.
Mm-hmm.
On mice. Mm-hmm. On mice. And the one on mice didn't show any correlation with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The one on the male rats showed there was a rare tumor called schwannoma in the heart linked to male rats, nothing mm-hmm. with female rats. And again, in this study, they were looking for the low, medium, and high groups. The low group, they gave the highest amount of radiation that's allowed by cell phones for us. And so even there, we're not really seeing... given that that's where it started, and the high group is where we saw the significant difference, 6% of the male rats in the high group suffered from the schwannoma,
mm-hmm.
it looks like it's not as dangerous as previously thought.
I would almost think of, because I think we were talking about before the show, one, the way we use cell phones is totally different today compared to 5 years ago.
Yeah.
At one point, you know, everybody's walking around with a cell phone to the ears. Now everybody has either a headpiece or they're talking on the speaker phone, which is kind of annoying. But, you know, or people are not even talking at all because of, you know, Facebook and DMs and, you
texting
know, and texting all this other stuff. So that's one thing. I would almost want to research microwave use.
Yeah.
Because we still use that at a high percentage. Like, I don't own a microwave.
Yeah.
Like, I do it old school. Like, I watch my grandmother, like, warm up food on the stove. Like, I warm up the oven, throw it in the oven, go and take a shower. Like, I don't have...
I have friends that won't eat food from the microwave either. I don't know.
Well, I'm necessarily not... Won't eat food from the microwave, but I just don't own a microwave
in your home. Yeah.
So and that was just more of laziness and being cheap. But I mean, I've watched my grandmother do that, so it's not a big issue. And you know, it's you warm it up in the same amount of time, if not less. So I would almost be interested to see the radiation on the food.
Yeah.
And how that tests.
But I think it's got to be. It must be. Decent, because microwaves have been around for a long time.
Yeah,
and, like,
but
we're all here.
Yeah, but look at everything that's happening. The peanut allergies, the different sorts of cancers,
illnesses,
all
not.
This other stuff. We're going to, and again, this is, you know, you can go into this conspiracy theory rabbit hole, but more of us are going in for tests and other stuff that our parents, you know, didn't go into. Or if you have a child, there's all these things like little, you can't, Timmy can't bring peanuts to, like, not to say it's all correlated to the microwave, but all these things that we're dealing with that weren't an issue 15 years ago. I mean, that's
coming from somewhere. But it might be that we're more sensitive, or we have the testing and the medical procedures in place to detect.
So possibly. You're telling me almost every class now you can't eat peanut butter because Timmy's allergic.
Oh, maybe because one of the kids is allergic, but that might have been something you just didn't know back in the day, and that one kid had a bad reaction, and now you can prevent it. You're not for it.
No, not at all.
Said it to me.
Just, no.
Well, I guess the good news is, even though the research seems to be somewhat inconclusive, that it at least is on the positive side, weighing against cancer. But, of course, don't use this report as your sole reason to purchase a cell phone.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, no matter what you do, which is unfortunate, this is going to sound totally depressing. No matter what you do, whether you know, work out in the gym or you don't work out or whatever, your goal in life is to be happy and make sure you go through it in a pleasant way.
Yeah.
Opposed to, because you're going to die anyway. So say if you're running the marathon, you were healthy, and you pass out at the end of the marathon, but at least, one, you look good, you felt good. You know what I'm saying? You have all those factors, opposed to you lived your life in a total terrible state. You were eating crappy food and all this other stuff, and now you die because of all these complications. Like, either way, we're going.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, make it the best way where you feel happy, where if, you know, we do go to this big pie in the sky, you can look at your life and say, I was happy in all these situations versus, like, I felt like crap for 20
I made
years.
Conscious decision for my life.
Right.
So, well, good news out of that for cell phone radiation. If people were worried about it, I think it's something they shouldn't have to.
I don't think people have talked about that in years.
No, every three, 4 months, I have a friend that'll say, wait, cell phones, sure you're like,
well, I mean, they're watching us on our cell phones.
Another show.
That's a whole other thing.
So a great law that I think I agree with, actually. Alabama has made it, or is about to make it, illegal to smoke if there's a child present in the car. We're talking about tobacco products here. I know in California we have to make that distinction. But the House passed HB 26. It's going to go to the Senate. What do you think about this? If there's a kid in the car under 19, they're saying don't smoke.
I mean, at the end of the day, you shouldn't be If I'm in somebody's car and I'm grown and they start smoking, like, it's their car.
Yeah.
Right? But I also have that choice of, like, either wind down the window or get out of the car. And if it's somebody that, you know, their life is essentially in your hands for that period of time, then you shouldn't be doing that at all because you're affecting their life.
Now, what if you're 21 and the person is 18?
If I'm 21,
or you're 20 and the person's 18,
it's still like it's one of those things where who's smoking and who's driving?
So the 18-year-old's in the back seat, right. Or the 18 or whatever seat. You're the 20-year-old friend of the 18-year-old.
Yeah, but
you whip out a cigarette to smoke, and a cop stops you and gives you a fine. Is that fair?
It's not fair, but you should know. Like at the end of the day, the law is the law is a law. Sometimes it sucks. Like, you know, cops can still give tickets for jaywalking, but how many people jaywalk?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, but you can't really argue with the cop when something's written in the books, no matter how stupid it is.
But I mean, I agree. But I guess there's maybe time to change it, but I agree with the law. They should have the law. I like the law. Especially because kids can't really say, hey, let me out of the car.
Well, yeah, it's just...
But 19, should they have made the age lower is what I'm trying to say. 19 seems a little like...
Well, it honestly just depends on the kid. Yeah. I mean, you have some 18-year-olds who are going on to be 27, and you have some 18-year-olds that are 14.
But I think at 19 you have the capacity to get out of the car. I think... Yeah, I think...
I don't know.
Yeah. So that was my only interesting issue. But I do think it's a good law. And typically, young children actually suffer... Like, apparently, young children in the home, if they have one parent who smokes...
Yeah,
and the parent tries to hide the smoking, tries to shield them from the smoking, that child is actually twice as likely to develop adult-onset heart disease.
Oh.
And if they have two parents in the home... Or the parents don't hide and expose the kid to smoke,
right.
Four times more likely.
So is that more if the parent smokes in the house but just not in the same room? Or is that if the smoke is on the parent and the child inhales it?
Well, according to the study, it's twice as likely if the parent takes active steps to hide it, does their best to smoke when the child is not in the room,
right.
Twice as likely, and then four times as likely if the parent doesn't care. For adult onset heart disease, I thought that was interesting because apparently... Kids' lungs are smaller, they breathe faster, and they have a less developed immune system, so it just really affects them hard.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, yeah. I mean, the parents trying to, because obviously we know this is an addiction,
yeah,
right? And, you know, life happens and, you know, some of us can't get over those addictions, but it's just kind of like, you know, if the parent's doing all the stages and the child still gets screwed up, but.
And worse, what I found out is, so I was someone, if my friend was smoking, avoid it, show my displeasure, but all right, sometimes you tolerate it, right? Apparently, more than 80% of secondhand smoke has cancer-causing chemicals. I didn't know it was that high degree.
I think, too, if your lungs are... Because it's almost like you have, white jeans, right? And then, you know, you've taken your time, you wash the jeans by itself, all this other stuff, and then it just takes somebody to almost spill red wine and you can't get it out, right? It just, ruins it. I think because, somebody who hasn't smoked, their lungs are just so pure that they've taken that stuff that it affects them even more, whereas somebody who smokes all the time, they kind of get that buildup.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe it was that high. I thought secondhand smoke might be, if I were to think about it, at least half, right? I think I was going to get 80% of what you're getting.
Can you smoke in clubs? I think you can't do that in LA, right?
I don't think so, but I've been to clubs and it happens all the time.
Yeah, there's smoke-filled clubs. Where my hair smells. I mean, when you become an adult, you make those decisions. I am around smoke once in a while, but I don't... it's not something that I prefer.
Yeah, well, I'm taking a harder line. I had no idea it was 80%. I really thought it was 50% or below. It just made sense.
All y'all, Club 57,
I'll
please.
One by one, putting it out.
Make sure I'm there when you do that, please. I will not be helping you.
We'll see how it goes. Well, a new healthy trend that might kind of help clean ourselves of those sort of toxins. It's called souping. Mm-hmm. Of course, I didn't really know about this, but people are going on these soup diets, and they're actually saying that it's better for you than a juice diet because, you know, you're not getting the sugar, and you're getting fiber, and you're getting protein, you're getting fat. And they did one study and found that people that replace soup with the same amount of calories, but the other having chips and pretzels, but the calorically the same as soup, they lost 50% more weight than people that stuck with the chips and pretzels.
Well, I know for the Master Cleanse, that's what they should suggest. So for guys who don't know, the Master Cleanse is it's Beyonce did it, the lemonade diet, where they do the cayenne pepper, maple syrup, all this other stuff. But after you're done, they suggest that for at least 3 to 7 days after the cleanse that you have soup to kind of get, kind of used to almost that fiber and stuff in your system and then go into solid foods. Yeah. But I think, too, it's just we're in a society now where there's nothing planned. And of course, it's more of a 1950s, what we think happened. But there was times where, parents, whether it was mother, father, or grandmother, my grandmother cooked for us, where they had different meals, where you had the food and where you had the broth soup. And that was part of the weekly diet.
Yeah.
So now, we're just getting in, where we can fit in. So I think it definitely having some type of soup during the week, especially something different.
Yeah.
That's a good option.
Yeah, I just thought it was so interesting. And I'd actually been thinking to myself, I got these Amy's soups. They're pretty good, these Amy's lentil soups. Mm-hmm. And I'd had two or three in a day, pretty addictive. And I was I felt good. I felt full. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself, I should do more soup,
Oh, yeah.
And then I didn't realize it was actually a trend. Apparently, according to Pinterest, it's going to be one of the top trends of 2018.
Oh, boy.
And there's some soup companies. We're not sponsored by them. Just mentioning them if you guys are interested in looking. Splendid Spoon and Soup Pure. So I'm actually going to look into them because I didn't know there were soup delivery companies either.
Really? Yeah. The soup aisle is crazy. But what I used to like to do when I cook more often is you could do a black bean soup where you puree the black beans and it's a thicker soup.
Okay.
And then you could put, when I wasn't vegan, you put a dollop of sour cream on it.
Yeah.
And then you could do little crush up the tortilla chips and put it on. So you can do the soups if you get the right one that you're flavored to, your palate likes, you can...
There's
so many great soups beyond the basic chicken noodle soup and tomato soup.
You can add anything to soup, which is great. So if you do feel it's not filling enough, you can just add more stuff to
it.
And they say something about binding the water with your fiber and your protein and your food actually makes you feel full throughout the day. So I am going to become a super, and I will have to let you guys know how it goes. I guess the fiber is even good for stabilizing blood sugar. Just good, positive, healthy benefits.
Just something, different.
How often are you souping?
Like I said, when I used to cook, I used to cook one soup a week. So I would have, my favorites were butternut squash soup,
which is blended,
black bean soup, and then there was a green bean lentil soup where I would blend all of them. They're all bean-based.
Wait, what did I miss? Are you used to cook? You don't cook anymore?
No, I mean, my version of cooking is throwing some stuff
on. Oh, you just mean time-wise.
Yeah,
okay.
Like, it takes me... I had vegan tacos today. Okay, it took me literally, like, 8 minutes.
I thought you had some cool delivery.
I used to. Eat Naked LA, if you're in Los Angeles, really, again, I'm not getting paid for that. Really, really great service. They just had they just added vegan options, too. But you can, with some meal delivery services, I find that they have just a standard menu.
Yeah.
With Eat Naked LA, you can mix and match. So you create whatever you want. So they give you all your meats, all your seafoods, all your...
And they just added some vegan
They
options?
Just added their vegan menu maybe 3 or 4 months ago.
Funny enough, I would have thought with the name, it would have been a vegan.
Well, thing. I was getting on the guy... I forgot his name. I was getting on the guy when I became... Because I was pescatarian for a while. I was getting on him. He's like, don't worry, we're getting it. But the thing about them is that they want to test everything, which is good.
Yeah.
Because the meals are really good. Like, it's flavor. Like, they cook it in-house. Like, you know, he posts videos, like, you can go to see the kitchen. Like, it's a really great service.
So, I thought for some reason, I thought it was like a raw vegan service. I thought Eat Naked was the food. The food was essentially naked.
Well, it's more like...
I mean, you're supposed to look good naked. Is that what it is?
Well, it's more like, you know, some people, when especially with the delivery service, which you guys should check out when you order it, sometimes the stuff is frozen.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Gotcha,
so,
gotcha.
You know, in order for it to stay longer, like, if you order to Eat Naked, you need to eat it within that week, else it's not going to last.
So that's what it refers
right,
to.
Right.
Okay.
It's all very fresh food. Whereas if you buy a meal service and the stuff lasts for more than 2 weeks or more than a week, then there's other stuff in the food that's, you know, not supposed
not
to be
so
there.
Great. And then our last story for the day is the disparities for Afro-Latinos. The health disparities. So we know there's disparities for blacks and whites. We've already talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you kind of normalize for socioeconomic factors, the disparities still exist.
Right.
But what we hadn't looked at is for, and apparently in the Hispanic population, their health factors and the recent immigrant population, they actually have better health factors than non-Hispanic whites. So they're not exactly sure why that is, but they do believe it might have something to do with community and more support amongst families.
Well, are you talking about Latino or are you talking about Afro-Latino?
With the Latinos, they say it's actually a Latino paradox, they call this. So Latinos and recent immigrants actually have better health factors than non-Hispanic whites.
Well, you know why.
No.
Well, shout out to my friend Jorge. Jorge's Mexican best friend. He lives on his own, has his own apartment, has his own job, but he goes to his mom's house. She cooks every day.
Oh, exactly. So yeah, they did say it was like healthier diet and familial ties.
Right.
And
Yeah. So I mean, that's definitely. I mean, I don't know if I want to go every day to my mom's house, but I mean to have that. You know,
part of your familial structure.
As even if it's not as healthy as whatever, it's still guaranteed she's using more, you know.
Yeah, like raw ingredients.
Exactly. So that's definitely a thing. And the community, I mean, the community is definitely sound. Like everybody knows, it's just the whole thing.
But who they've been ignoring is their Afro-Latinos. So we have this group of Afro-Latinos, and they've never really even done too many studies on Afro-Latinos because it's always black, white, Hispanic.
Right. Well, it's not a new emerging market, but it's a new emerging market to North Americans.
Yeah, and it seems so. I guess the Afro-Latino population has skyrocketed. 1980, 389,000 people identified as Afro-Latino. To 2010, we're at 1.2 million now. But I think what was interesting is that in some studies, people reported themselves as Afro-Latino, but didn't report themselves as black when they followed up.
Right.
So I think that might also have something to do with those racial disparities and why they haven't been looked at as a group.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, even when they have the boxes and they put, you know, African-American, I don't check that box because I'm not African-American. So, I mean, I could definitely... There's so many... What people don't understand is that within... Even communities, there's so many different variations.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, my mom can pass as white. She's mixed with Portuguese. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like all these things that people don't account for because obviously, you know, there's a whole historical thing that, you know, nobody wants to talk about. So I think it's definitely a new thing where it's coming to the forefront where we're talking about it. I forgot the chick's name from Love and Hip Hop, Miami.
Yeah.
You know, you seen the girl, Big Fro? It was a big thing.
Not
I haven't watched it, but the thing about this, the show was that the guy, she's Afro-Latino, so she speaks Spanish, all this other stuff, but she's rocking this Big Fro. She's a singer. She went in there, and the guy's like, you need to get rid of the Afro. That's not, you know, that's not going to make you popular, which, of course, you know, everybody went up in arms. So that's how she became, one of the reasons she became in the forefront. So she was on Breakfast Club. So she's been doing a lot of press.
Yeah.
And also, Cardi B is Afro-Latino, too. And she's in Trinidad, yeah, enjoying Carnival.
Yeah, kind of would you? You were there.
Anyways, so I mean, but she doesn't. As far as I know from interviews, she does. She's never claimed herself as Afro Latina.
Yeah.
So I think you can kind of. You know.
And I think that might be part of the bigger problem is we're so eager to put people in like categories and then compare these different categories. Right. But when it comes to healthcare, we should be getting the most efficient healthcare for anyone, regardless of where they live, what they look like. So we should be focusing on our institutions, access to proper healthcare, rather than like determining, check this box and let's compare this later.
That's a whole thing. So, I don't want to.
But I did want to talk about that some, because I think it's so important. You know, the Latino community is so diverse. All these communities are so diverse. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about Black people as a whole, and of course, there's so much diversity there. So hopefully we can look less at the categories and more at the people,
right?
And try to solve some of those problems. Any other issues for you? I know you're our celebrity news lady at TMZ.
Oh my gosh.
Who's big in fitness?
Who's big in fitness?
This week or last week?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Who is big in fitness? Well, I mean, there's so many. It's like, there's only a handful of celebrities that I can think of that are, like out of shape, but they're not at the top of the food chain.
Oh, but no breaking fitness news.
I mean, Kylie Jenner had her baby. Yeah. But, I mean, that's not.
And at 20, she's young. She'll probably bounce
back. Oh, she's going to snap back easily. Actually, speaking of somebody to snap back, chick who was in Kanye West's video. Oh my gosh, her and her husband are getting a Stacey reality Dance? Show. No, not Stacey Jazz. Oh no, you're so behind. Tiana Taylor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
she. Okay, great.
So the whole thing was when she was in Kanye West's video, yeah, she was like 25, but she had her baby, I think, a year or two before.
Yeah,
that.
She couldn't believe. She looks, was an amazing
Yeah, shape. But wow. She's 25, yeah. So it's like.
But
it's
still, she was in
and
the
she's
shape.
A dancer.
Yeah, her shape was so good, it still said, but wait. You know?
Right. And so her and her husband are actually having a reality show, I believe. Oh, okay. So.
I'm sure we got to get some good fitness routines out of her. Hopefully we can get her on the show and
I mean,
talk
she
about
has,
her.
She actually has an app.
Oh, really?
She has a dance app.
Tiana?
The thing, too, with what people need to realize is that Tiana Taylor, I mean, there's a handful of women who have a body like hers,
yeah,
right? But for you to strive to have a body like hers, that's, like, a lot to do with genetics.
Yeah, yeah. You just got to, again, when I tell people, you got to enjoy the journey and then hopefully surprise yourself.
Yeah.
But you can't look at her body and go, that's what I'm
going
to
do. Yeah, you can't rock a 22-inch waist and then still have the hips and all.
Unless you're already very close.
Yeah. Well, very close, and then like genetics. You might get a 24-inch waist and that's what works for you.
Yeah.
And that's what your body's allowing you to do. Yeah. And then, you know, you go with it. But
I think actually what kind of came up a little bit about Kylie was some people were, you know, some 20-year-olds, 19-year-olds were getting excited about getting pregnant and getting baby fever. And the same thing, you have to warn these people, well, she got a lot of money. She's going to snap back, but she's 20 and got a lot of money. You know, Tiana Taylor, 25, got a lot of money, and she's in this industry, and she's been dancing for so long. So people shouldn't have realistic expectations from the celebrities.
But on the flip side, too, this is why a lot of people are waiting to have kids. You can't really wait to, like, you can't prepare for a kid.
Yeah.
No matter how, like, I had a friend, she was all about, she had the plan, she had all this other stuff, and I'm like, and I don't have kids, and I already knew that's going to go out the door. And now she's on kid number two, and her planning skills is, you know, totally different than when I knew her when I was in college. So I think what people, and now I think the trend is you have a handful of people who are waiting, you know, for the perfect time. And that doesn't happen, and your opportunity might pass you by.
I agree, but if you're 19, I wouldn't say, "Hey, Kylie did it. Let me do it."
Well,
too.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that, but I'm also saying that you just never you never know what you might expect for yourself at 19 versus, you know, 30
it's
or whatever.
It's gonna look different than what
it's
you think.
It's gonna look totally different. So,
but I'm interested to see her getting back into shape. I'm sure there'll be some maternity. I'm interested
to
see
the mommy makeover for sure.
And I'm interested to see her how she uses her maternity as part of her global empire. I'm sure it'll be a piece.
Well, she already posted the picture. It was the highest Instagram liked photo. It actually Beyonce's was. Yeah. When she had the pregnancy pictures that she posted, I don't know, late or mid-2017, hers surpassed Beyonce's photos.
Oh, and I'm saying, you know she's going to have a baby line. You know she's going to have baby makeup probably. So we'll see.
It's a baby makeup.
I'm sure it's coming. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm so glad you guys joined us. We'll be back next week. Again, guys, my name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
And you can find me on everything at TK Trinidad. I am running the marathon, unfortunately or fortunately, but I'm doing it for a reason. I'm actually raising money for Africa. I'm raising money for water pumps in Africa. So if you want to donate, you can hit up that bio line.
And we're doing a beach cleanup this Saturday. If you guys are out in L.A., we're doing a beach cleanup in Santa Monica Beach, Tower 26, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We'll be there. TK will be there.
I'll good time. I'll cheer for you from Instagram. Like.
We'll see you guys.
First online broadcast network dedicated to African American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. Info at blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live. Scipio, Instagram me at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
Expressed here bad are things, and it's a lot of bad things that they wish and they wish and they wish and they wish and they wish on me.